I like the sound of that long format.
Movies of the week.
Long format.
Short film, long format. What is that?
I think it's like over 25 minutes or something.
I feel like that's just a way to stick another category in for...
I feel that's like subcategorizing heavy metal music, right? Like there's, if you look at the heavy metal tree...
Have you seen that chart?
It's ridiculous how much subgenre metal there is.
Norwegian black metal.
Right? And like Southern.
It's called death metal.
Yes. Yeah. Black church metal and hard metal,
yeah,
and
Icelandic progressive death metal
and non-progressive metal. Like what's the, I don't understand the difference, but yeah, whatever. What other terms are there for film, Steve? Like, I mean, besides what we see in the Oscars, like short term, long,
you've got short films, long format, short films, feature films, movies of the week.
You don't like being put on the spot. I love it.
Flicks.
Wait, so an animated short, how long do you figure that has to be? It's like The Cat Came Back was an animated short, right?
I don't know. I guess it depends on where it's being shown to. Different festivals will probably have their own different categories for what something is. But so when you ask what does feature mean, it's usually more like feature length. That's 75 minutes or more.
You know, I know what these mean. I was just fucking with you just to make me
like so more non-prepared.
I feel like if a feature film came out that was only 75 minutes long now, that seems very short.
Oh, it is. They usually, you could watch a 90-minute film, and if you actually took out everything that doesn't move the plot forward, it'll be like 20 minutes.
That sounds about right.
Like, there's a lot of junk filler that they do to stretch the shit out to make sure it's around 90 minutes. You're not going to go see a movie in a movie theater at Grant Park like unless it's 90 minutes or more.
They have like a 5-minute scene of a guy pouring a Diet Pepsi for product placement.
Is that why some movies like 2.5 hours and it feels like it's no time at all because the plot's actually moving?
Yeah, because something's actually happening. It's paced properly.
Oh.
So it's got enough slow mixed in with enough fast to keep your brain from...
I like to go fast.
Like Endgame, just to me, didn't seem like it was long.
Paced perfectly.
That's when they refer to pacing. It's pacing. Like
cool.
That's exactly what it is. it's exactly what it is. They don't. You know, film people aren't very smart, so they just kind of call it as it is.
I thought it was a totally different thing. I thought we were talking about Leo pace.
Would length be how long it is?
I believe so.
Would the rating have anything to do with what's in the movie?
Maybe.
Anyways,
I thought the medium was the message.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming to the living room once again.
It's bright out.
It is bright. It's nice.
It's weird.
It's windy though.
This is like an afternoon session.
It's an afternoon delight, so to speak.
I should be taking my nap.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I totally interrupted
afternoon
everybody's
delight.
You can't say those two words without going in a chorus. I know.
No,
but I realized as soon as I'm like, yeah, we'll do it in the afternoon because I have a concert tonight. And then I'm like, I'm fucking with my nap. And then I'm like, I'm probably fucking with Martin's nap.
Yeah.
And I know for certain I'm fucking with somebody in Steve's house's nap.
I don't drink this early.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't have afternoon.
I've got the coffee because,
You're dad, so you...
He's a dad. He's not dead.
Well, no, I know, but he's a dad to a baby.
Doesn't mean
so
anyone can take a nap.
Have you noticed your coffee intake has gone up since you've had children? Is there a change there?
I don't drink a lot of coffee in the first place. I only started maybe like 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm new to coffee.
But his Valium intake.
Through the roof.
Oh, yeah. My hard drug intake, though.
Big meth problem is area. Huge meth problem is area.
He's got, you know, like how you have like a chart in your house for how kids are doing well. He's got a chart for how much opium is going into his system over the course of the week.
Realistically, dealing with young kids is like dealing with meth heads. They're just running around crazed.
Yeah.
It's totally
Especially when you give them sugar.
Mood swings.
Give them a bunch of sugar and see them go.
And it's always great when there's somebody else's kids and you give them sugar because then you're like,
oh,
this is your fucking
problem. I do that all the time. So when I babysit like my cousin's kids or my friend's kids, I'll like give them like a bunch of sugar before they leave so they're all hopped up. And then the car, like, why are my kids so crazy? I'm like, I don't know. They just really like doing some
because
puzzles.
Lunch was gummy drops and sour soothers with Martin. Yeah.
I give all the stuff you're not supposed to give kids. Like, they know that parents like, oh, I don't need healthy. I'm like, no, let's give them some rockets or some.
Well, I feel like
you're cheap candy handing out there.
Rockets and Twizzlers.
I feel like parents always have those plans and then the kid comes and it's like, well, fuck that shit. Here's the TV.
Here's an iPad. Here's an iPad, actually.
Yeah. In the same vein of fucking with people through their kids, is every time I got invited to a kid's birthday, I'd like go to the toy store and I'd be like, what's the loudest, most obnoxious toy you sell? Yeah.
I did that to my my nephew and niece.
For like 4 years, I kept buying like the little homemade band set, like the tambourine and the snare drum, like Fisher Price. Oh man, like, just the look on my stepsister's face, like the joy would just, I'm like, yeah, the rest of the afternoon is going to be at a 10, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just going to buy my nephew a pot and pan and then a wooden spoon and he'll just go like, dun, 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 dun.
It would be a hit, definitely, like for the kid. Like Nate loves
pun intended. Yeah.
Nate loves the boxes that things come in. Like, oh, fuck that.
Yeah, here's I've seen that before. That's So
as
my cats.
As is my cat. does Nate just sit in the box and stare at you creepily?
Does he purr when you come over? Does he swap at you when you want to take him out of the box?
Sometimes.
If that's how your kid is, I want kids now.
He tries to bite you sometimes.
I didn't know I could put him in a box for a couple of hours and walk away.
Kids are just human versions of cats. They're just human cats.
Yeah, until they talk, and then it's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. All right, well. How's everybody doing? It's been another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Martin, we'll cut into you here. What did you watch this week?
I've been started watching Chernobyl on HBO.
Chernobyl.
Really good. I love it. I think it's, I just didn't, I knew about it when I was a kid. Like you heard about the accident that happened overseas. And then I didn't know a lot about the story, but then looking at it, you're like, holy shit. Like
you're the bullet points.
Yeah, you're like, well, the world was pretty close. It could have been super fucked if they didn't deal with this crisis. And I like how they make the people, like the Russian people, like or Soviets actually, they sacrificed a lot. Just
comrades.
To deal with the, I guess, the emergency.
There's, I don't know, anybody else watch, Mark, are you, Steve, are you watching it? No, okay. It shows the two sides of it. It shows the intense, painstaking efforts they took to stop the leak because they blew the core. Like the worst thing you could do is from what me and Martin have found out, they blow the core up. There's graphite that surrounds the core and it has spread all over. And the guys inside are like, there's no way that could happen. And then everybody outside's like, the core is exposed. And I think like human Rontgen, which is the number you're allowed to have, like radiation exposure, is like 2.5 Rontgen is the max any human can get to without having, like, you won't have long-term damage, but you will have radiation exposure.
From the thyroid.
Your thyroid will just suck it right up. At the core was 20,000 Rontgen. And they were sending guys in just, like, rubber masks trying to, like, they sent in, like, robots on top of the roof to push the graphite off. They were flying in choppers and trying to rain water over to stop the burning. Like, it's nuts, right, Martin?
That's crazy. I'm enjoying it. It's really well acted.
Very well acted.
Yeah.
One of the Skarsgård father, Stellan Skarsgård is.
Oh, okay.
He's the politician on the Russian side who's very,
I think he's the Minister of the Interior or something.
Yes, yeah. And he meets the doctor who has done the most studies on RMK reactors, which is there was like 13 of them all over the USSR. And this one reactor's problem was the same problem in 13 others that they had to go and fix after.
Wow, I'm going to have to get into that.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really, really good.
You guys
it's rated higher than Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones right now.
Oh, really? You guys are the kind of second and third good reviews of that I've heard. So
yeah.
And they write it like a, like radiation poisoning. When you just say it, it's not really too much to bat an eye at, but it is brutal.
Watching it, you're just like, oh, fuck, that's... Ugh.
You turn into a zombie. Your body basically shuts down and starts to melt from the inside out.
Yeah, your organs melt.
And there's like a two-week window where after the first effects take you, you start to feel great, they say, right? You think you're recovering, you think you're fine, and then drop right off the edge, and then your liver's melted and your intestines are gone, and... You can't even be...
Well, that seems pleasant.
Oh, it's a Sunday night treat. No, Monday night, right? It's Monday.
It's Monday nights.
Yeah, Monday night on HBO. Yeah.
All righty.
Mark, what'd you watch?
Get into that. You know what? I mentioned it earlier on. I was listening to Dax Shepard's podcast, and he had a documentarian on.
Ellen something.
Yeah. And I'm gonna blank on it, so I'm going to do a fact check while I'm talking. But anyways, her... she had made a number of... short documentaries. Aaron Lee Carr.
There we go. Yep.
And I'd heard about some of the documentaries that she'd done. Most recently, she did the one on the U.S. gymnastics coach, sexual assault, like over hundreds of girls.
Yeah.
And interviews with a lot of the girls and bringing that story to the forefront. Anyways, I watched the one of her old documentaries, one of the first ones she did, called Cannibal Cop, which was about a New York City police officer who had this secret dark side when he went on online cannibal chat groups. And it's about a cannibal cop. It's called Thought Crimes.
Okay.
So the whole real theory behind it was he was convicted on these charges because he had talked and planned with somebody else to kidnap girls, like actual people, and like eat them, boil them, torture them, all these things.
Yummy.
And the conviction was overturned, but it was sort of based on the reason they call it thought crimes. Is it illegal to have fantasies? So
isn't it that because that, that movie that with Tom Cruise,
Minority Report,
isn't that the same thing?
Well, sort of. And this, I mean, this is a day and age, right? The people have all these online chat groups where they live out their fantasies. But if your fantasies cross the line, is it, at what point is it just living out a fantasy? And at what point is it planning to commit a crime, which then is an offense? So is it a conspiracy to commit murder? Or are you just talking about a fantasy? And it was a whole idea of like, what's it illegal to think? And it kind of, it was a very thought provoking documentary.
I want to watch this now, but I think there is a charge of conspiracy to commit murder in the States.
There is here.
There is here in Canada. 100%. Okay.
Conspiracy to commit indictable offense. So, kidnapping, torture.
Does that mean that, okay, so if me and you sit in a room and go, hey, we should do a thing, and the thing would be like this, and it would end like this, and if we talked about it, is that where the conspiracy to start the indictable offense
and
starts?
That's what the whole thing's about, is are we conspiring to actually do something, or are we just living out a fantasy? Like, I could have told you I was a blue dragon, and that's my fantasy. But doesn't mean I.
And you're
really
allowed to have that.
Doesn't
fantasy.
Really mean I am a blue dragon named Todd.
Good old Todd,
right? So it's kind of interesting. Like, can you police somebody? Are you allowed to have these fantasies, even if these fantasies, if they were acted in reality, are actually like horrible crimes? Is it okay? I mean, not okay morally, but is it okay legally to be in a forum, an online forum, to live out these fantasies?
Specifically eating other people.
Like rape fantasies or cannibal fantasies or murder fantasies or anything that's like that.
That's a very interesting, that we should do a podcast specifically dedicated to really dark fucked up movies once.
Yeah.
And
like
where is this pushing the line to, is it cinema versus is it snuff? Right. Yeah. Cause there's a couple of, there's,
we were talking about one earlier.
Yes,
this week.
We were. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Yeah. So that got me into that. I think I'm going to now go through her catalog of docs.
Aaron, docs are a great thing to get a kick on, right? Like, I always find myself, if I watch one, I watch five.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm like, no, I want to go back to Avengers shit. So I'll suspend disbelief for a minute. Steven? How are you?
Good, thank you.
How's that coffee?
I was just having my little nap there.
Okay.
The coffee's great, thank you. Even though you had no milk, cream, sugar.
You did have marshmallow.
I had marshmallow creamer.
Right.
Which, according to Martin, is just jizz. Yeah.
Well,
just Mike jerking off into a cup. It's an excuse.
98%.
Okay. I couldn't take the risk, so I just went with black.
You went with black.
I'm not going to lie. Mike is just looking for an excuse to jerk off into a cup. That is the perfect one.
He needs one.
I have certain boxes I have to check on a Saturday, guys. That's one.
Yeah, we're all interrupting our Saturday itinerary.
Actually, Martin, he was holding the cup that he had already jizzed into. He wasn't sure whether he was going to pour it into that one or into a clean cup.
No, he's got to do a whole new one. It's got to do a whole new one.
Steve seems like he's got an iron stomach. Let's go for a run here.
I don't want to reach all the way up to the cupboard to get a clean cup. This one's just on the counter.
So note to self, 2:30 p.m. is Mike jizz into a cup time.
Yeah. He looked very relaxed when we showed up.
Yeah. He's like, why are you breathing heavily? Yeah. I was just cleaning the house.
It's my 12-foot hallway. It really exhausts
me. Doing the dishes.
Yeah, literally doing the dishes. Mmm.
You know, Mr. Cup.
Mr. Cup.
It's a boy.
Mike does dishes, literally.
Yeah.
Mr. Cup has a sexy handle.
Ooh. Mike does dishes. That's the title of my porno.
Yeah. Just starring you in a bunch of dishes. That's it.
You're going to roll coffee cups, and it's like, bounce.
I'm sure there's a niche for that somewhere.
I just picture Mike just like, two hands, one coffee cup, and just you just see him thrusting into the coffee
Mike,
cup.
Mike, it's not wrong to have those feelings if you just...
Yeah. Is there a chat group I could talk to?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there is. You look on the internet. There's probably a chat group that, like, fucks dishes.
I know there's an episode of Nip Tuck where they hire a new doctor in the plastic surgery clinic, and the guy's got a fetish for inanimate objects, and it's specifically couches and sofas.
There you go.
And there's a scene where they hire him, and his credentials are great, and they're happy, and... life seems that it's turning around at the clinic, and then they walk in and he's like it's porno music, and he's like spreading the cushions apart like legs, and you see him, and all you see is him just like grabbing the back of the couch, like riding it, and the two doctors walk in, they're like, get the fuck out. Like
I can see you at the counselor with the dish thing and be like, so what's your issue there, Mike? Have a real fetish for China. So you like Asian girls. Yeah. No, just porcelain and
saucers.
Saucers mostly. Yeah. Mugs. Intricate patterns.
Mainly cylindrical.
You know the ones dishes? With just the little finger holes? Yeah.
The smaller the handle, the better.
Exactly.
So Steve, what'd you watch this week?
Okay. Well,
I too watched a documentary.
What'd you watch?
Actually, it's also the most entertaining part of Game of Thrones.
It's the last watch. Yes, tell us.
Behind the scenes of season 8 of Game of Thrones. And it's good. It's very touching. And
do they show the monkeys banging on the typewriter?
Yeah. No, they're past that point. But they do have some great skits. They do show stuff during like the table reads where people like Varys finding out that he's dead, and you could just see him take a script and toss it, and then like lean back and just like, fuck.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm good.
And then Kit Harington, I guess, doesn't read the script until the table read, but everyone else does. So he's sitting there going, like when it's him killing.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. If you
mean, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're well past. I think people who didn't watch it are like, fuck it from everybody else who did. Yeah. But
I don't think people care anymore. Like, it was such a disappointment that I just go ahead and spoil it.
Yeah. But my favorite part is like in the beginning, you have like the executive producers going, oh, this is crazy. The schedule's maddening. And they're all being, and they're like, oh, but it's this intricate puzzle. And we love trying to put this puzzle together and make it work because it is a huge thing. Right. And they're like, oh, yes, but it's fun and it's our life and blah. And then it cuts to like the location manager. And you're just like, fucking wanker. You can't park there. What? You want extras holding near the propane tanks? Where are they going to smoke? They're going to blow up the set. Yeah, fuck, what? Like yelling at truckers and like, get out of the way. That cuts back to the executive producer. Puzzle. We're all a big family here. You got the locations, which is just like every location department, every film. It's like, But it's great because they show everything. They show that from the top down, and they do follow this one extra quite a bit.
The guy with the beard?
Yeah, he's like a Stark guard guy and everything he does, and that's actually watching him do
his
thing.
He's the most seen extra, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. He's one of the Stark's honor guard guys how serious he takes it. And even like the stuff with the food truck people, like just how this huge thing affected their life for like 8 years basically, and how it's all coming to an end, and just the amount of just pure bloody work it took to make.
And such a giant cup of jizz at the end.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to get it.
You're in the jizz mode today. Jizz and cups.
This is my jizz time.
It's a good segue, Mike. That really puts the puzzle of our podcast together.
Yeah. Well, you're so right, Steve. Like, it's such a gargantuanly big production,
and just how many talented artists and technicians it takes to make it, even for something that then comes out and people go, oh, that fucking sucked.
Yeah,
but you do realize that, oh wow, that took 2 years of this person not sleeping to make it, and they did their job extremely well.
It was a well-made piece of shit.
You can't say anything. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well put.
It was a polished, shiny, expensive piece of shit.
Okay.
Well, spoiler alert, first of all, I went and saw Aladdin last Sunday and was smiling the entire time. Really? I was very surprised. First of all, they do change the story a lot. I won't ruin it, but they do bring it into a more, into a current time as opposed to the original story where, I'll basically get to it. Jasmine is more of the lead female than Aladdin is. They do the role reversal. which is good at Disney to show that a princess can be strong and not just be told what to do. But if the only thing I have to say is if you hold Will Smith's entire body of work against him going into this, you're going to be disappointed. If you just look at Will Smith trying very hard to do a very good job, you will be very entertained. It's like he just looked into his entire resume of characters and brought them all and used them in different points, very much like Robin Williams with his impersonations and language and accents and all that stuff. There's a lot of that there, but it's more of a Will Smith spin on it.
So he brought like every shitty character he's ever acted together.
Kind of, yeah. Like there's a little bit of the Fresh Prince in there.
Welcome to Earth.
There's a little. There's
that's what I call a close encounter.
All his Oscar-nominated performances.
Yeah, there's a lot of Ali in yeah, Ali. But no, like
was just, the Legend of Bagger Vance there?
MIB was prevalent throughout the entire movie. I make this look good.
Arguably his best character.
Arguably his best. But yeah, so musical, like for it being a musical, super entertaining. Disney spared no expense. They brought in a ton of choreographers. Like the Never Had a Friend Like Me scene is fantastic to watch. And the first half, not so great because this kid they picked from Toronto who plays Aladdin, bad on his own, but as soon as Genie comes in, like Will Smith carries it the rest of the way. So first act not so great, second, third act really good. So I suggest taking it, go see it, enjoy it for what it is, but don't do the Robin Williams Will Smith comparison because you'll be disappointed,
obviously.
Yeah, so now that we know what we've seen, how about them trailers this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a few. That's what I thought too.
No, you know what? We're going to talk about a couple here, and I'm just going to throw it. Not haven't really seen a full trailer, but commercials for it because you just mentioned it. The Men in Black International.
Have you
seen it? That looks cool.
I'm super excited about that.
I'm very excited. I think Liam Neeson, as long as they, at some point or another, as long as they say that he has a very special set of skills,
yes,
I'll be happy. That's all, just a nod to the cheesy action movies
he's been
doing. Did you see
the scene with Hemsworth? And I can't remember her name, but she's like,
haven't we met before?
Haven't we met before?
The Valkyrie.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And you're like, come on. You don't got a better line than that.
But isn't there something in the trailer where he throws a hammer?
Yeah.
Even?
Little
like,
tiny.
Yeah, tiny hammer.
And the guy catches it. He's like, ooh.
But like, good on them, right? Yeah. Like, if you're, because these are the movies that they're both coming off of.
Yeah.
So to protect. Like to just be like, cut it at Avengers and then try to make a career out of something else. It's like, you're going to take Thor with you wherever you go. Fat Thor, presumably now. Like, yeah. I don't even know Thor anymore. I know Fat Thor.
Yeah.
That's my Thor.
That's my Thor now.
Dad bod
hashtag
Thor.
Dad bod. Hashtag my Thor.
Thor. As great as the MIB International thing is, I'm looking forward to it. What did we watch? We watched Rambo and we watched Terminator. We decided to do the 80s action movie stars back to back.
And I'll say this. Why can't they just be, I said it earlier, why can't they just be old? Just be
die.
Old. Retire.
Not die. Yeah, retire. Okay.
I mean, I don't need to see Stallone still kicking ass at, what is he, 70 now? 80?
Somebody, I'll fact check it. Hang on.
Like, I want to see them like in the 70s. Movie. Last Vegas, you know.
That's fine. We're
like
old people.
Yeah, but I want to see like Schwarzenegger and Stallone in the same retirement home, and then they have like a battle in the lunch
with walkers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's more what I want to see right now.
Well, when it comes to Terminator, at this point, I would almost be okay if they just tried to remake the damn thing. Like, drop all those actors.
Yeah.
Maybe like same universe, but like different type of storyline. Yeah. But no Schwarzenegger, no Linda, no.
I think that's what they're doing.
No John
with this.
Connor. Just go like no. They're
no,
all
no.
In
but
it.
But I mean like that's, exactly. I'm just saying like they're passing the torch on with this.
No,
one.
No, don't even pass the torch. Just be like, okay, just that's all done. It. Like if you want to make a Terminator movie, just
Spider-Man.
It's almost like they almost did it with the Christian Bale one, but then they just gave it to the wrong guy to do.
Yeah.
That McGee.
Yeah, like, they really
that
did.
That could have been.
That's what
awesome.
I wanted. I wanted.
I wanted
feature.
Him fighting a bunch of T-800s, like just like stripped down. Like that should have been it should have been like Saving Private Ryan, but in the world of Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
right? Crazy.
Yeah,
and that was
totally
so close to
you.
Being like that, and that's what it should have been. And I almost would rather just see that or that type of movie redone, and not just there's Arnold.
Like they've already gone to the
again.
Past. Let me see stuff about the future of where this war goes after.
Well, you've got
it
with
time so much.
Salvation, right? That's the one we're talking about. Well, Salvation is with Claire Danes and. No,
that was Terminator 3.
Salvation.
Rise of the Machines was Claire Danes.
Right, yeah, sorry.
Salvation was
so confused.
Was Christian Bale.
Too much. There's not enough James Cameron Terminator. There's too many other Terminators, right? Because it would be easier to just to have know that he's always doing it. But
well, Terminator 1, Terminator 2, James Cameron.
Yeah. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. Was that McG?
No. Salvation was McG.
Then I don't know who. Whatever. But anyway, Sylvester Stallone's 66. Just so you're close on the 70.
Old.
He's old as fuck, but.
Because we saw Rambo. We've been talking about Terminator.
we saw Rambo, too.
There's a hard switch there for a second. But
wait a second. Just so we know.
All right. Bring it back to Terminator. There's just too much shit that's been done in between. Like, I'm excited for it just because of James Cameron. I'm not excited for the story. That story, I mean, yeah, okay, Linda Hamilton's back. That's awesome for anybody who, because Terminator 2, I think.
Just be old, Linda. Retire.
Just be old.
There's not, no, don't be old, but like, you know.
She had a good run. Like, just, you what should else? Retire. Like,
anybody know else what she was in? Besides, like, Terminator 2 is, I mean, I'm sure she did some other stuff in the 80s and 90s, but I think that's kind of like her Mark Hamill, right? Yeah. Like, she, you do a big one, and then you kind of crawl under the Hollywood carpet for a bit.
And then married the director.
And then married the director. Yeah, yeah.
Just lived off of his wealth. You know what she was in? His bed.
Yes. Okay. I know where you're going with your career, Cameron. I'll take the sidecar on this one.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Like, I just don't like it. Like, they're like, we had good memories of these actors at their prime and doing really good jobs with these characters, and they're bringing them back, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna be disappointed, and it's gonna tarnish the memory of, I think, Sarah Connor.
So we think Terminator 2 is really where it should have stopped, or
I think it should have stopped at T2. That was brilliant.
Die a hero.
Yeah.
I agree. And then what you're saying about the Salvation, where it was great, an older John Connor, you want a bigger battle,
should have been done better.
Yeah, and it was really cheesy how they were like, it's a radio signal that will fix the problem.
Yeah,
right? Like, no, you want a giant battle, because you've been told for three movies at this point that there's a giant robotic battle coming, and then you're it's another Game of Thrones ripoff, right?
I feel it was a bit of an anomaly. Most of the time you see in trilogies, the first movie's good.
Yep.
The second movie usually sucks ass somehow, and then the third one redeems itself and closes out a trilogy a lot of times, right? Like Star Wars, you know, first movie's good. I don't know many people that Empire Strikes Back is their favorite Star Wars movie.
Right, you're looking at one.
Really?
Right, you're looking at two.
Right, no, here.
Like, right there.
Like all of them?
That was the best one. That was the best one out of all of them.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I live under my rock. And me and my rock agree that Empire Strikes Back is the worst of the Star Wars.
It has the...
How does Todd... Does Todd think that way, too?
Yeah, does Todd thinks that way. Stuff,
you know why Todd wears earmuffs, so he doesn't have to hear the bullshit?
Todd says New Hope is the best, and then puts his earmuffs on.
Yeah.
I guess we should introduce the four, five, what, how many of them are there? There's five, six? Okay, so Shauna, my girlfriend, has, shout out to the company who made these things, because I think they're now going to be sitting with us the entire run of this podcast.
Monster Factory.
Monster Factory stuffed animals. We would love you to be a sponsor, Monster Factory, because if you could give us a new one of these a podcast, that's all we want.
I don't even need a new one. Just give me one.
Just we'll rep the shit out of you, but it's these tiny little monster stuffed animals.
Plush toys.
Yeah, that's perfect word. But they're
I know my toys.
They're
it's like the difference between a comic and
a graphic novel. Yeah.
Graphic novel. I know. Action figure,
not a doll.
It's not a doll. It's a collectible, guys. It's not an action. It's a collectible.
As you snuggle with yours in your chair.
I love Hank. He's so cool. Anyways, go ahead, Mark.
Anyways, so yeah, there's these little plush minimalistic animals that have a story. For example, Mark Rita's. It's
well,
Paul,
I've,
right?
I found Todd.
Sorry, Todd.
Todd is my spirit plush here. Todd puts undue pressure on himself to succeed. And it makes him walk too fast. That's all the backstory of Todd you need.
Is there anything on yours, Martin? Or
no,
is
there's nothing.
Oh, yeah, because some kid ripped it. Anyway, so if you want to see what we're talking about, go to monsterfactory.net. They're out of Toronto. If you guys happen to hear this, we would love to get in contact
amazing
with you.
Plush toys.
Amazing plush toys. Super fun. They're now going to be out for every episode, and we'll introduce them as we go. So we did Terminator. What about Rambo? Are we thinking the same thing about Rambo?
Ram,
fuck off and die.
You know what? I actually didn't mind the trailer for the one reason is that I like movies that are contained in like close quarter movies, right? So a lot of it showed Kim. traps and them trying to raid his, rather than like
the tower defense movie.
Rather than the open sandbox movie, I want the tower defense movie.
Close quarters, storming
one,
the castle.
One path through the farm.
You're like me with my flail. You just want a straight shot.
Yep.
Nothing in the way.
One at a time. Boom, 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 boom.
That I like movies like that. I don't know why. It's like Home Alone.
Yeah, right? It's pretty much Home Alone. Yeah. That was the original tower defense. Home Alone.
Multiple sets, marks out.
Rambo kind of looks like Home Alone.
Home Alone for old men.
Deadly Home Alone. If Home Alone was allowed to have weapons as opposed to an iron on the face.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or ice in the sled.
It's Home Alone with blood effect.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does. And I think from what I've seen and read so far, it's doing a Mexican cartel. Because I think he's in Arizona or Texas or something is where his farm is. Because he comes back to his farm at the end of the last one, and he's doing that long walk that you hate. Yeah. You want him to be right in the house as soon as he's in front of it.
Like the was it the what do you call it, the Incredible Hulk walk at the end with the TV show?
Oh,
yeah. When he's like
with the sad music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's exactly that, and so now he's home. He's on his farm, and he's obviously, it says in the trailer, he's bringing the fight back home, which is going to be great because we've always seen him, like, he's either stuck in Vietnam or he's stuck in...
Is it going to be great?
I don't know.
It's going to be... Okay.
No.
Did you guys like the previous one? I didn't mind it. Like, when the first comeback?
I actually know very little about Rambo.
Oh.
I've seen First
Blood. Well, you can fuck
off. A million years ago. But...
The first one is the best one.
No, the original was the best one, but I meant talking about like the last remake, the one before this one. That wasn't bad. They were in like Burma?
Burma, yeah. During there was a specific period that he used that was in the news where they were burning and killing people for
about the Rohingya.
That's it. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, okay.
I might be disagreeing with you to move on.
I'm going to say you're right because I don't want to discuss this anymore.
Segue.
Either way, so we all agree.
My paper here says segue.
Right turn. Right
That's
turn.
Why all my facts are way screwed up in life because my father was very dismissive. Yeah, right. Yeah. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I don't care if it's true or not. It sounds good enough halfway through. But okay, so we're all in agreement that we're just stretching out a series, obviously, of movies that, you know, should have died well before two or three more have been made. Okay.
I agree.
Great. Awesome. Well, that brings us to the premise, the debate, the fun stuff. Martin, I'm going to hand all of this over to you every time now because I can't explain them properly. So you get to explain the premise this week, and then we'll all...
Do you want me to just do it every week?
That's what I'm saying. You now, I'm passing you the torch.
Yeah, that just be Martin's job? Yeah. I just get confused when you try to tell me what...
I completely agree. I'm
I need Martin to actually do it right now so I know what I'm supposed to be talking about.
You're first up.
All right. So me and Martin will talk. We'll figure it out. Martin will be the messenger boy going forward to let everybody know exactly how we do this. So Martin, the floor is yours.
He's clearly claimed this from his comments in our chats before the episodes. No, it's not that, it's this.
Yes,
yeah. Boom, this is what we did.
It's hilarious because I'm like, I got this open idea, and then Martin's like shrinking it right in real quick, and then then it's this tug of war between us because we can't text properly.
No, we can't communicate properly. Mike and I, I think we need to see a counselor.
I think
we'd like to think it's a democracy, but it's a bit of a dictatorship
with two dictators.
Martin and Hank.
So anyways, all right. So what's this week's premise?
Okay, so this week's premise is you're at a party and you meet this other couple with your significant other.
Let me just take over. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And they basically, they tell you how they met. And it's an awesome story. Your story is garbage in comparison. So what you decide to do is you pick a plot from a movie. And that is the story of how you met your significant other.
Perfect. So, and now it doesn't matter if you have or have not. It's just the story you want to tell this couple that obviously has a better story than you. Because we're all humans.
You want to outdo them.
Exactly.
Like, fuck this couple. Like, they're, you know what I mean? Sorry.
No.
Fuck this couple. Yeah,
fuck those other guys.
I got really angry. Fuck this couple. I got this guy.
You've been in a situation like this before, haven't you?
Lie.
We met at the library. Well, we met skydiving. Yeah.
The one-up person, right?
Kristen Wiig from SNL's character.
Yeah.
So like, I just got pregnant like 10 minutes ago and had 12 babies in the last 5 minutes. And like, I know you're getting married, but I'm better than you.
So,
All right.
Okay. All right. So what are the rules? We kept no genre. Right?
It's not genre specific.
So it was just whatever you
anything.
Sort of like the best want. Meet cute.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Meet cute. The best meet cute with a little bit of a twist.
We are still right? naming this yeah. episode "How I Met Your Mother."
Yeah, we are.
I think
yeah.
we should name it that episode. Yeah. Do we?
Yeah. Sort of rom com inspired, but
yeah, you were the one who
yeah
yeah
it brought
it,
this.
It mutated out of a rom com idea.
Yeah,
and we realized that a romantic story can be embedded in pretty much any genre of film.
I don't think we picked any rom coms.
No, we should.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Is that a rom com?
By definition, no. You can stretch it into the rom com category, but it like okay, like it's no 50 First Dates, it's no Wedding Planner, right? Like those are traditional rom coms.
Traditional rom coms.
It's a yeah. Everyone picked a comedy, or yeah, everyone really picked a, I guess. Yeah. Traditional sense, yeah.
No one picked an Adam Sandler movie, which is all I was happy yeah. about, right? Because yeah. those are just too easy.
I think we all stayed away from them because they are obvious.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's what you want, not what is. And like, I think when we were talking about it, Mark, we were like, yeah, the shit that goes on. And I mean, I, being single for so long, I always reference movies, which is horrible to do because I'm like yeah. so let down in life.
Yeah.
I'm like,
just assuming that the person you're talking to knows every movie in the world. You're like, oh yeah, do you remember that reference from this? And you're like,
yeah, your whole world shattered when it's like every romantic comedy you've seen, you're hoping for it to be real. And if they haven't seen it, you're stuck there going,
like,
oh.
If she hasn't seen Star Wars, I'm like, we can't be together anymore.
And I don't know what movie it is, but I was watching something, recent movie or TV show, and some guy starts lying and telling the plot of like Good Will Hunting. It is a lie to somebody.
Yeah.
What movie is that?
I was a janitor.
Yeah. And I realized I was really good at right?
Well, we did that on the other podcast. We did that on Should Have Known Better.
So it's kind of funny that was kind of my idea, is that when you're in a situation and somebody bests you and you got nothing, then you just go to whatever you know and
default movie.
Yeah.
Perfect. All
you
right.
do Galaxy Far, Far Away.
A long time ago.
She was a princess.
And I was her brother, and I didn't know it.
She liked my dog that I brought.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah, she loved my pet.
I brought my dog, my best buddy, and my grandpa.
Boy.
Wasn't too happy about the car, which I was not impressed with.
Yeah. And then the cool guy in the fast car shows up. Yeah. Tries to steal her.
She took control pretty quickly.
She was in the driver's seat of that one. All right, so I think we decided, Steven, you would engage us first.
Lost the coin toss.
You lost the coin. Yeah, you drew the shortest straw.
The four-sided coin.
So I will get 10 minutes on the clock here.
What? Okay. Do I need 10 minutes?
No, you don't.
Should I also reveal like my actual story?
Yeah. So what you? All right. So
how me and my wife actually met?
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Yes. Let's
do. And then how I want us to meet?
Yeah, that'd be very cute. Yeah. So end with the truth and start with the lie.
All right. So the truth is not that exciting. It's actually pretty boring.
All right. Well, then start with the lie.
No, that's. Oh yeah, that's what I meant. The lie is pretty boring.
The truth is exciting. It's all
the truth. Oh, buckle up for here. The truth. Holy shit! But I gotta start slow here. But no, we how did my wife and I met? Well, pretty simple. Where a lot of people meet. It was on public transit.
It's a great place to start.
Yeah, it was. She was on a bus. I needed to get on that bus.
Why did you need to be on that bus?
Oh, well, in my past, like right now I work in film, but before that I was in law enforcement.
Okay.
So it was a work thing.
It was. For me, it was. She was on her way to work, running late, but she managed to get on that bus.
Buses, am I right?
I know.
Always late, never on time.
Thankfully for me, she was running late and caught that bus, which was the bus I needed to get on myself, because I used to be in SWAT. Anyway, so she's on this bus, and for a work reason, I had to get on the bus too. So I got on. I had to commandeer a car, and I jumped on the bus.
Yeah, you didn't get on the bus at the bus stop, from what I've been telling.
No, I had to.
It was on the news.
It was the best bus stop.
Yeah, ever. I had to commandeer a car and his cell phone, and jump onto the bus.
What kind of cell phone was it?
It was like one of those Nokia brick ones.
Was this some sort of express bus?
It was a fast bus. And the reason why I jumped was because it couldn't slow down. Funny story. But this funny story. There was a bomb on the bus.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's this crazy dude that I thought I killed. But turned out he wasn't dead.
You're shit.
Yeah, you've known this guy from previous life, right?
I know. It's weird. It's
fucking jealous bastard.
It's just all these little circumstances that came together that allowed us to meet. And luckily, you know, when I finally get on this bus, the bus driver gets shot.
Oh my God.
And so she took over driving.
Oh.
And because she was driving the bus and I had to work with this bomb and all this other
craziness.
Does she
have like any previous bus driving experience?
No.
That's amazing.
No.
What line of work was she in?
I can't remember at the time. Oh, okay. Actually.
Well, there was a lot going on, Mark.
We didn't have time to talk about that.
It was a high stress moment.
I don't even know her last name. She didn't have one. She wasn't given one. Anyway, she had to end up driving the bus. And the funny reason why actually she was on the bus because she lost her driver's license for speeding.
That is funny.
These like funny little coincidences that all lined up for the stars to match.
Did you arrest her after? Because technically that is a crime to drive without a license.
Yeah. What did you do?
No.
There's a conflict of interest there.
We didn't. But we were worried because, you know, we heard that, you know, most relationships starting from an intense experience don't last very long. But
yeah, you need the gradual build.
Yeah, but luckily so far it's been working for us because we base it mostly off of sex.
Another successful plan for solid relationships for many years.
But it worked out pretty well. It's speed. I'm talking about
speed. Sounds familiar. I thought it was something.
It's like I heard that before.
I didn't know if it was a news article that I had read.
Yeah. I saw it on a tweet. I know that.
No, it's speed. It's the perfect meet. They both are doing something heroic. They're both in strong positions. It's not like one is being clumsy or anything. I mean, and the other one is super cool. They're both kind of doing their thing, and
he can disarm bombs and chew gum at the same time. He chewed gum that whole fucking movie.
He can. Yeah, and it's Keanu and Bullock in their prime, and
yeah.
What's not to love? First of all, it's just an amazing movie, but the romance too.
Meeting in an intense situation like that creates the Tarzan Jane effect, or you know the damsel in distress and you know like that it's a movie story within a movie essentially, right? Because life doesn't really.
Maybe we can delve into why Steve thinks he's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
well, if it's not apparently obvious, we're both Canadian. Roughly how old is Keanu?
Keanu's 50, if not older.
Oh, wow. Okay, never mind. We're not the same age.
You're chasing that.
He's timeless.
Dude, remember Bill and Ted? Like
he just looks so young.
I was a kid when Bill and Ted was.
You both had excellent adventures.
We both had excellent adventures in phone booths.
Do you both know Kung Fu?
Oh, yeah, he's 54.
He looks good for 54.
Both big animal lovers.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever gets me on par with Keanu Reeves. We're both nice guys.
That's a solid story.
That's definitely a solid story. What drew you to that? Was there anything specific or was it just being like ridiculous? Because I think it was the latter, but if it's the former, I'm interested to hear.
It was me going, oh, I need a movie to pick.
And for some reason, Friday night
and
before
I think
the
a
podcast.
Bus blew past me when I was on the street. I was like, hey, that will work. It's like, oh shit, I got a deadline.
Inspiration comes from the strangest places.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Did you briefly consider Speed 2?
Cruise control.
On a cruise ship. The slowest fucking ship ever, but apparently still called Speed.
Because they're already together in that one.
Yeah. Was that Patrick? Keanu didn't do it because Keanu didn't do it because he did Hamlet in Winnipeg instead.
There's another connection with me and Keanu because I was in Winnipeg when he did Hamlet.
I saw that play. I was in junior high and we went to go see that play. I saw Keanu do.
Amazing how their lives just mirrored.
I know. We're like intertwined.
Yeah.
Forever, Keanu and I.
He was a PA at the theater that day.
We both work in film.
these generic, wide ranging topics that you two have in common are
it's
so on point.
It's amazing.
All right. Well, the only thing I have, let's anything to disagree here because we still got some. Yeah, we get the disagreeing time now. So anybody want to shit talk this motherfucker?
Just not like it, not believable. Good story, but definitely not believable. I don't see like it's just one of those things. Like if you tell this couple's gonna call you out on bullshit, I'm like, that's fucking Nick bullshit. Like you clearly.
I'm going to call you out on bullshit when you go, yeah, I used to be in law enforcement, but now I'm in film.
Like, and then when you said SWAT, I'm like,
Hey, working in film, you know how many background actors are actually cops or former cops? Like 50% of them.
Wow.
There are a lot.
We're not talking about them. We're talking about you.
I know. I'm just saying. Whoa. Cops transitioning to film.
Kidding. Sure. Okay.
No, I love the story. It's like my only part, not believable. Like the couple will call you, but I'm like, I don't think that's true.
I love the romance of it. But yeah, at the same time, like halfway through that story, they're looking for the snack table. They're looking for a way to get out and get a drink,
which is exactly my goal because I do not want to be in a conversation like this.
That's what we forgot to ask. Did you actually want to impress the other couple or get rid of them?
No, my goal is to like. Is to be so over the top that they realize that I'm just fucking with them, and then, because it's their own fault for starting such a stupid conversation that I don't want to be in, because I probably don't want to be at that party where I get
technically it would have been you starting the conversation because you were like, "How did you two meet?" And then they tell you their story.
Oh, see, that's so unrealistic.
And then you're just like,
me asking someone else a question, me wanting to learn more about another individual is so unrealistic. Speed as a premise is more realistic than me caring about a stranger.
Steve just pictured as those oversharers that just walk up to you and be like,
exactly.
Hey, how you doing? You want to know where you at?
Exactly. They're like, so like that bullshit small talk stuff. It's like, yeah, okay.
Hi, this is Bill. We just got married and we met at so and so.
Oh, how'd you guys get married? I'll just be like, it was a bomb defuse on a bus and.
Yeah.
I'm actually a member of an alien race.
I would just take the story as far as I can until someone actually says bullshit. See how far you can get.
And I went back in time in a phone booth.
In those situations too, everyone you're being polite. So you're like, uh-huh. Like you know how many crazy, stupid shit people talk to you about but you're in a party, so you just kinda go, uh-huh. To go along with just because you want to get out of there. I would go as far as I could with it until someone actually just
Well, it's a
away.
Win-win situation. You don't give a shit what they think, and it's a time for you to be completely ass. So, like, yeah. And then the best part would be if they walked away and they're like, that's so crazy how he met his wife.
Oh
if they take that story and believe it.
They wouldn't even call you out on it. They would just walk away and then natter amongst themselves. Oh, he was so full of shit. That's a movie.
Yeah.
That's Speed, right? We've seen Speed.
What
that's,
movie?
That's with Sandra Bullock. I love Sandra. Fucking Keanu's
that's
the
with,
best in
that's
that.
With, who
no
is it? That's
Keanu.
With Miss Congeniality. What's her name?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Miss Congeniality. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
I know her from The Net.
The lady from The Net. And the guy from The Net, right? They're both in that Net movie, right? They're both about the internet movie, aren't they? They were in that together, too.
Dialogue
you mean
modems.
The Matrix?
Do you mean The Matrix? Yes.
Well, we're down to 15 seconds. Mark, you got anything you want to call him out on here?
No, I was the same way. I was kind of, that's, you really got to sell some bullshit. But if you're not trying to sell the bullshit, then that just
it's the perfect amount of bullshit.
That thwarts my argument. Touché.
All right. Well, thank you, Stephen, for your presentation. We appreciate it very much.
No problem.
How'd you guys really meet?
Yeah.
We met online.
Oh.
We met online. We met on Plenty of Fish.
POF?
Ooh.
Yeah.
POF, the original online dating service.
I know. It was, I had the greatest, like, bio in the world. I wrote it while drunk in Aaron's apartment. And it was all about how the title was, monster trucks are just okay, and the whole it was like an essay about monster trucks. But if you really read it, there's a subtext of all the things that I like and dislike comparing it to monster trucks.
Like, I don't like monster trucks as much as I like blank.
Well, yeah, it's like, oh, you know, monster trucks are great, but they're super loud, and I'd prefer to, but the whole thing was in reference to monster trucks, which I know nothing about. It was this beautiful thing, and unfortunately, my wife to be, English is her fourth language. Didn't get
wow,
any
that's far down the ladder.
Didn't get any of
all
the,
that stuff.
Didn't get any of the, didn't get any of the jokes. And the whole reason why she started talking back to me is because I had one profile picture where I was holding like a Starbucks cup, but it was like a small and away from my body, so it made my hand look huge. And she's like, oh, did you like my profile? Like later when we were like fully dating, I was like, oh, what did you think of my profile? Things like, well, I didn't I tried to read it, but I didn't get it. I'm like, oh, then why'd you start talking to me? It's like, well, that, you know, that picture, you had big hands. It was all just because of my big hands.
Wow.
It wasn't because of this like essay thing that was just amazing. I thought it was the best thing in the world. No, this one picture of me with a cup, with a small cup, that made my hand look big.
That's a lesson in life. The thing you put all your work in, yeah. And then just like, oh, just grab this picture that I took this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
My selfie for my profile.
My profile pic. One?
Oh, he's big hands.
Wow.
Yes, big hands. It wasn't my intellect, my wit.
So the reason that I came up with some of this idea is that equally, we meet at a party and we also met online on a dating app.
Yeah.
So, which is a lot of people's stories nowadays, right? And so you need something more exciting than just, we met on Tinder, actually.
Okay.
Of all of the hookup apps.
No one actually wants to admit that they met on Tinder.
Oh, you see? We did.
No one wants to.
We are a Tinder love story. And that's probably why I thought, you know what? Saying we met on Tinder seems weird, so I'm going to make up some elaborate farce of a story.
Please do. We're all so, oh, hang on, let me turn the clock.
I mean,
here.
I'm not gonna tell you whether this is the truth or a lie.
Okay, Jimmy Fallon, go on.
My wife and I, well, my girlfriend and I, common law, and I,
sure, yeah, fuck titles.
my partner,
your panda.
We actually went to high school together. And I always had a big crush on her, and
oh.
I think secretly she noticed me too, but didn't really say anything, and nothing ever happened. And guess she moved away and kind of distanced self. Nothing ever happened, and I end up in another relationship, and that really hit the rocks. So, you know, found out she was cheating on me, so we split up, and I lost my place. Had a great place, dog, whatever. So I'm kind of trying to make it back on my own. And end up at a friend's wedding, and of all places, and run into her. And I was actually the best man at the wedding, which isn't really the best place you want to be when you're going through a breakup like this.
Nope.
And
too much responsibility.
It might have shown its ugly head during my best man speech.
Were you drunk?
Yeah, I got a little.
Do you happen to be a little tipsy? A
little hammered. I might have gone off the rails a little bit on my my toast. My other buddy cut me off. But anyways, so I ran into her out in the hallway, and I didn't know she was back in town. Thought, hey, we should, try to get together sometime. And me being in my horrible drunken state, I spilled hot coffee all over her lap, and and that didn't go so well. So
what were you doing in the meantime? Like what was going on in the background?
A couple of my buddies, the guy who was getting married and the guy who cut me off for my speech, were trying to cheer me up. So I just put a lease on a new place, really close to the university, just over here. Actually, and moved in, and they crashed my place a lot. They threw me like a big singles party to try to re-release me into society. Nice. Yeah, it was good.
What kind of events were going on at that party?
What kind of events? We had a good band.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I had a buddy that worked for one of the electronics companies. I can't remember which one it was.
But was she single at the time when you remarried?
Well, no, she wasn't actually. She was dating a douchebag. Oh. I didn't find that out until a little while later, right? We were at a birthday party for my friend's son. Mm-hmm. She shows up with this absolute douche, right? His name was Mark, too.
Remarkable.
Shows up at this party. I catch this guy hitting on one of the servers. Right? Ass. And he pulls the old, like, this is bro code. You can't say anything. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. No.
Right?
No.
But you know what? I didn't want to be the guy that sours him just because I'm going to try to get his lady, right?
So yeah. You're good,
dude. I'd play the long game, you know. We'd be friends. I hope that in time she'd realize that, that this guy wasn't for her. And I had to sow some of my wild oats at that time,
You had a buddy who, what I heard, was into streaking.
Yeah, I had some crazy friends.
To leave some shit behind.
They got a little, he was a recovering alcoholic, and he Francis.
Francis.
Yeah.
Francis Ricard. That's what I remember. Francis Ricard.
We called him Frank, but I believe his name was Francis.
He had the nickname. Yeah, what was the nickname? What was?
I believe the Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank, oh, yeah. Tank. Yeah. So, we had some wild times, and, I ended up with some younger girls.
Be careful what you say here. This is on the internet.
Perfectly of legal age.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah, she was just a little old for high school.
Yeah.
And yeah, it finally came around that she realized this guy was an asshole and that she basically caught him red-handed after I'd helped them a lease on their new apartment. I'm a lawyer at that
yeah,
point, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, finally she came around as I was finally getting out, finished sowing my wild oats. I was kind of passing it on to the boys that I had spent so much time with. And we had accrued quite a following of young friends at that point.
like a type of like you guys had a special bond.
A brotherhood? A brother? Is it a brotherhood?
Like a boys club of some
sort? Yeah,
sort
of boys
There's a word.
Almost like a fraternity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fraternity. A fraternity of like-minded young men.
Like-minded young men. Yeah. Well, and some old men.
Yeah.
This sounds like ancient Greece a lot.
All right, it's the plot of Old School.
It's so great.
But I got the lady in
it.
The end.
You did. You won.
I got the lady.
You got
in
the girl.
End. Yes.
You got the girl.
Yes, and nobody got the bread maker.
It's got six speeds, though. It's got six speeds.
Did you get me the same model? No, this exact one. Anyways, I thought I'd keep it a little more down to earth, which is, you can almost, it's almost the truth.
It's great because a guy has to eventually, like you say, sow your wild oats and then move on, like choose, right? There's
exactly.
That choice. Yeah. Okay.
And it's true in the sense that, and realistically, I actually kind of picked this because it does mirror life. I was in my previous relationship. We split up because I did get cheated on. I lived in a house with two other guys. And we lived just by U of M.
Oh, wow. Life imitating art for sure.
100%. And then after all those crazy times passed by, then
yeah.
I think the right time was to meet Chrissy. And now that we're settled down and everything else, and she has a daughter, just like this girl in the movie had a kid, the son too. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's just about meeting at the right time. So that was one of my favorite movies of all time. And
Todd
I didn't
Phillips.
Realize... Todd Phillips, who's the gangbang guy,
yep.
actually in the movie.
Hello.
Some people didn't know that. Yeah. I always loved the movie, and then I started thinking about some of my favorite movies when this topic came up, and I'm like, you know what? I could actually sell that as my own story. So I didn't want to go over the top, you know, as something ridiculous, and I thought that's kind of approachable, and people could almost believe it if you left out the crazy like KY
Jelly
wrestling.
It right.
And,
yeah, I'm just gonna say, I'm like, there's this wrestling scene where an old
Snoop Dogg dies.
Snoop Dogg came and
Snoop Dogg, yeah. Right? Like it is about the details.
That's right.
The devil's in them.
Except it's like your story.
Yes,
it's not so much about our story.
Yeah,
like
well,
like her
true.
Half of it was, oh, I went to a party. I got cheated on. I magically showed up at the end of this crisis he was having, and now we're together.
Well, no, we kept meeting. You know, we had some close conversations. You know, she came to me for advice. You know, that was kind of the build, right? We talked about her white snake jacket from high school that I was so enamored with. I still think at the end of the movie, she should have showed up in the white snake jacket.
That's what I thought, yeah. too.
Right?
That was
so
cool.
Missing. So missing.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, it was an excuse to watch Old School again in preparation.
It's a good movie. Great movie.
Oh, classic fucking comedy for sure. Any challenges on the floor?
My biggest thing is, yeah, it's like one-sided. That's all. If you're in the party with your significant other telling another couple how you guys met, it's like it's your story. And she would just stand there. Like that character in the movie, she's just the token girl who comes in and out. To be a C plot.
You haven't met Chrissy yet. She would never just stand there.
Not in the slightest.
No, that's the thing. She just needs more to do.
Yeah. She'd be like, my ex-boyfriend said that he had been cheating on me, though.
If I didn't know you, I would be bored, but I know you, so I find it cute, right? Like, if I am the person that you're telling this to, I'd be like, you know, I gotta go for a piss and not come back. but the way you phrase your argument is, it is very cute and lovable, which is the side I love about it. But I would, with Steve's porridge is a little too hot. Your porridge is a little too cold for me.
Okay, all right.
If I could phrase
that's
it,
that's fair enough. You're allowed to have your opinion.
Thank you for giving
it's
it.
Wrong, but you can have it.
But you can have it.
That's the great
respect
thing about
your
him.
Wrong opinion.
It's bullshit, but you're. I think it was great to hear. Martin, anything you are you, yay nay in the middle?
I like it.
Okay,
I like this movie, and I love the plot. Like, I like the fact that it's you can sell it.
Yes.
And it's not.
But I think we like old school, but not for the C romantic plot.
No. But I mean, in terms of story that you're going to sell,
the D romantic.
You could sell this
but
story.
I feel
to
as though it is sort of like the story of the ages that people meet, they know each other, and then nothing happens, and then they meet under bad circumstances where something can't happen, and if something did happen there, then it wouldn't last. And then finally, when you're both in the right place, when you've kind of dealt with the douchebag, I dealt with my sowing my wild oats, then we were ready to meet. And that was the progression of the story that I liked.
And I do like that about that too, because yeah, it's a powder keg at one point, and then it's...
And although Mitch was single for pretty much the entire movie, it's not like he was banging a bunch of girls. He kept thinking about her.
Yeah.
Right? He was a single free man to do whatever he wanted.
He had a house full of opportunity.
But he kept thinking about her.
Because he was the straight man of the film, too.
Yeah, sure enough.
He was just the foil for everyone else to
I mean,
go
we
crazy
could have got
against.
Like serious boy band ass in that.
You could. Yeah, you'd have had a lineup down the hallway. Just a number machine. And...
Like my buddy's got a sand guy.
Todd, I'm going to have to get you to earmuff it for a second.
Yeah. Todd, earmuffs? Yeah. Oh, they're on there.
Yeah. Todd isn't listening. All right, so
was that porn music?
No, that
sounded like porn.
Is it? Are you ready to go again with your dishes?
Yeah,
the time
that's,
to
that's
do
the
some
timer.
Dishes.
The timer is the porn music. Ooh. Like, oh, I gotta go do the dishes.
Dishwasher's done.
Well, I mean, if
get them while they're hot.
Hang on, guys.
They're more realistic that way.
Like it right out of the washer.
Like, I know you guys didn't hear it properly, so I'll play it for you one more time.
No, please don't.
No, it's going to be way better than you think.
That's what they all say.
It's Muzak.
Yeah, it's Muzak.
It's the Golden Girls theme song.
Oh.
Oh, thank you for being a friend.
Even more disturbing.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be able to hear that again.
Is that what you clean dishes to?
That's not what I clean. That's
dish
not
cleaning
what I
music.
Clean dishes to. Just whatever landed. All right, okay.
It's what he dirties dishes to.
Well, someone stop talking about my cup fetish for just fucking 10 minutes. We can go back to it. My cup will runneth over, apparently.
Oh, goodness.
And put 10 minutes on the clock for me, because now it is my turn. Right? So who wants to clock me today?
I got it. Go.
Yeah. All right. So, I decided that
Hey, Mike. How'd you and Shauna meet?
Thank you. All right. So how we met? We met when I was in my early 20s. Actually, no. Later in life. Maybe later in life, because I wasn't that accomplished then. But so I was going through a rough patch in life. I had amassed a ton of money. And mergers and acquisitions was just starting to get boring, so I decided to kind of venture off into some more daring hobbies and activities. So art theft was on the top of my list. It kind of just shot right to the
top.
Of
course it was.
Yeah, right? Because art, as you do. So one day I found out that there was this priceless Monet being put on display at a local museum. So I called up some Russians that I knew and said, you're going to be a front. You know, you're going to fall while I get rid of this, get this painting. And I maneuver my way in after the helicopter drops and the Russians come in, and
believable.
It created distraction.
Helicopters,
yeah,
that's crazy.
No, it was,
wow,
it took
you
a day to
money.
Plan. Yeah,
Steve's story had a bus. This has helicopters.
You know, I am what I am. So after the helicopter takes off, I come in, I sneak the painting out, and go back to business. Right, just because I can, because I'm bored. Right, and in comes one day I'm hanging out at a party, and in comes this woman, and she comes and sits down across from me, and she looks me square in the eye, and she says, I know it was you. And I said, what do you mean you know it was me? I didn't do fucking anything. She's like, I know you took the painting. And I was like, well, I didn't take the painting, but you're pretty fucking hot, so do you want to hang out? And
did that line work?
No, it didn't. It didn't work. It took a hang glider in the Caribbean. It took a couple black tie gala dinners. It took doing the tango in front of a ton of people. It actually took burning a fake painting to make her think that I didn't have it, to prove that she mattered more to me than the painting that she was trying to search for. And in the end,
so she was still into you, even though she thought you
were.
Well,
she didn't know I had the painting.
But she thought you were.
She thought
thief.
I had the painting.
And she was still into you?
Well, no.
She into criminals?
She, well, see.
The, what does she do for a living?
She is a. I don't even know what the title is. Insurance agent for stolen art.
Insurance her, investigator?
Yeah. So yeah. She.
Did she investigate fraud?
Fraud. Lots of fraud. So she had to put aside her ambitions and the money, because there's like $5 million if she found this painting and got it right back to the rightful owners. So she had to put that aside. And while putting that aside, and while me trying to find out if she was really into me or not, I had to trick her into thinking that the painting wasn't the painting, but then was the painting, and then was missing, and then wasn't missing. And it got to this powder keg of emotions where I was like, okay, I need to prove that it's you and it's not the painting, and you're into me and it's not the painting. So 2 days after this whole thing goes down, I sneak the painting back into the museum. And then I create this elaborate event where I throw the sprinklers on and watercolor comes off the painting, and it's been there the entire time.
Ooh.
And I am completely lying through my ass about Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, I thought this was Ocean's 12.
Or 11, or 10, or 7, or 13.
I thought you were going to tell me her dad was a famous art thief, too.
Fabergé egg, Monet painting, famous art thief.
Is this the Pink Panther? Is this the Pink Panther?
Pink Panther, yes!
You know what?
It's, you married Inspector Clouseau?
That's her cover. That's how she goes. I mean, paraphrasing it doesn't sound as great as your two, because yours have one's over the top.
What do you mean, Mike? Yours got helicopters.
Wait,
okay,
well, wait, mine's over the top? You're a billionaire who steals art for a...
Yeah.
I mean, at least mines, we're both just two working class stiffs trying
they're
to get through the day.
They're on a bus.
Taking the bus.
You got helicopters in yours.
I got helicopters. I got hang gliders. I'm not saying mine's not over the top.
Hang gliders in the Caribbean.
Mine is all based on like bullshit, right? Mine's based on trying to get past the obvious, which is the money that she's into and obviously the power that he has. Like, there's this dynamic there that they're both playing a lot of cat and mouse, which is what I think a lot of relationships start off as, right? You don't want to go too fast. You don't want to go too slow, right? So it's got that beauty aspect to it, which is why I picked it, right? Because that's what I see when you meet somebody, right? You don't want to tell them too much about yourself, but yet you don't want to be too guarded, right? And you don't want to look too excited, but yet you don't want to look like you're not having a good time, right? So, and the painting is what, is getting in the way of both people showing their true emotions for each other, right? Yeah, go.
You go. No, you go. If you finish.
Yeah, no, I'm. No,
I'm saying you sold me on the underlying.
Yeah,
the underlying love story. The meet cute side of it.
Yeah,
how we met. I think my criticism of your
choice,
which
you're allowed to
have, which is as much as it's wrong, it's my opinion. is maybe the way you presented it to us, because maybe you trumped up the bullshit. You turned up the bullshit a little too much. I would have suggested maybe you stripped it down to saying, well, you know, I had a lot of money, family money, and I got into some trouble, you know.
You don't say
she found out about it, you know. She was in a position where she had to look into this thing.
Oh, you know? I get it. Yeah, see,
I think maybe you dumped too many of the over-the-top examples on us too early.
Like helicopters?
Yeah.
Did I
lost me at that point.
Did I jump the helicopter?
Yes, you jumped the helicopter a little too early. The shark jumped the helicopter.
The shark jumping out of the helicopter to steal the fucking painting.
Because if you'd have just said, you know, I had a lot of family money and, you know, got bored and, you know, I stole some shit.
I got
and
really
she worked for the place that I stole the shit from, sort of, and...
She worked for the people that owned the shit.
Yeah.
And
so you could have sold me on
and
that.
And then
bet.
The shit got in the way of our shit. And then we had to do a bunch of other shit so that we could find if our shit was real.
It's too much shit.
Too much shit, but it's a Thomas Crown Affair. That's paraphrasing. I do get it because I watched it last night and I was like, oh man, all right, I'm gonna make it work. And I was more focused on the meet cute aspect of it, because there's like, he just fucks with her the entire movie, and that's what I really liked about it, right? Because it's like, do you really love me, or are you just chasing your tail, right?
Lots of tests,
lots of hoop jumping, which is what people do nowadays, right?
Sure enough.
In comparison to how I met Shauna, ours is kind of cute, kind of. It spans 12. It's like you, right? With old school, we
like
met,
my lie,
like your lie. Yeah, it's your lie, but my truth. It started when I was in my early 20s. We met. I picked her up at a bar. Like, I just walked over to her and I said something cheesy. I know that. Like, I can't stop looking at you or some dumb bullshit, right? Got her number. We hung out a couple times. Mostly at bars, like dancing, like nothing too, like very G-rated shit, right? It never really went anywhere.
Was that when your dance troupe was touring?
That's exactly how I met her. Like, that's when we were like out 5 nights a week clubbing, doing the dancing thing. And one of her friends worked for a little local radio station, so there was a lot of like always seeing each other, right? And fast forward to 4 years ago, we ran into each other on Facebook. And I was like, Shauna? She's like, Michael? Exactly like that. And we
Where's my fucking painting?
Right?
Yeah. That's exactly what she said.
That's exactly what she said.
I know you did it. Yeah. The first thing she said
yeah,
to me.
Yeah. Nope. Could it be Catherine Zeta-Jones and Brad Pitt? Could it be Pierce Brosnan or Rene Russo? You never know. But yeah, and so then we picked up kind of right where we left off and informed each other of our lives, and that's that. So it is an online aspect, but it's not through online dating. It's just through, you know, you trump somebody's suggestions through somebody's suggestions show up on your Facebook feed and you get there. So
there you go.
Yeah.
And you see yourself as Pierce Brosnan.
I see myself as a chubby Pierce Brosnan. And the James Bond aspects too, right? Like, he brought James Bond to the character.
That is Bond.
Yes.
Really, for all intents and purposes,
yeah.
Right?
And so, yeah, that was my argument, which now leads us to Martin Navarro.
Ooh.
And Hobo Hank in the corner there under his arm.
Hobo Hank. I love him so much. Okay. I actually met my wife, Michelle, in high school. She was my prom date. And she was also my first. I was not hers.
Had she got around a bit? Or?
She was very experienced sexually, which surprised me.
Were you playing
catch up?
That wasn't
my image of her. I don't think I could have. If I tried, I wouldn't have been able to catch up.
Bit of a wild one.
A little bit. A little bit. She used me sexually. She never. I left her 3 messages. She never called me back.
Ooh, horrible.
Right after prom.
How'd you recover?
I didn't. Fast forward to a year later. I finished my first year of college. And at this time, I'm in love with another woman, an Eastern European supermodel.
Oh,
actually.
Wow, you went right to the roof after that one.
Yeah. Eastern European, she said she was going to come visit me at the end of summer. And I was super nervous because I knew that I wasn't there sexually. I wasn't experienced. I've only had sex with 1.5 women at this time. I say half because my dad came in and interrupted through my last year of college as I was getting it on. I just got it in and then he came in
awkward.
And I just, yeah, I got super awkward, super weird. So I don't really count that as a full one, you know, because it was, yeah. But
that sucks.
So like, I wanted to see like how I didn't know if I was good. So like, I've only had sex with basically one person, and I wanted to find out if I was good at sex. So I went to see Michelle. I went to. I know she always goes to band camp in the summer. So I went to the band camp that she
band camp
she goes to.
I hear them some crazy people at band camp.
Yeah, and she told me I was lousy. But she was willing to give me pointers. So she told me to come back or wait for her. So I was waiting. So this one time at band camp, I was waiting for Michelle in the woods. And this teacher caught me and I ran and I hit my head on a bell. Next thing I know, I'm coming to. I'm on the stage in an amphitheater full of people. They gave me a trombone to play. And I don't know how to play any instruments. And I was so terrible and it was so bad that it was so funny. Right?
Did that impress Michelle?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think it impressed
anybody.
Like,
what instruments were you playing?
A trombone.
But wasn't there more instruments?
No, it was just a trombone.
Yeah, right.
What did she play?
Yeah.
She plays the flute. Mm. Yes.
Did she do anything with that flute?
She did a couple of things that she told me that it surprised me. She put the flute in places I would not think of her putting it.
Can you play the flute while it's there?
I don't know. I never asked her. I wish I did ask her.
Yeah, which end?
Yeah.
Of the flute.
We want the dirty details.
I'm
there,
sure it's the side where you blow the air into. I think that's what it would be.
Okay.
We're
talking about you or the flute?
Yeah, the flute.
Which side of you do we blow there?
No, but so throughout the summer.
No buts. It's the buts.
Throughout the summer, she's basically giving me lessons on how to be a better lover. So I can prepare
like sex
for
sex lessons.
Yes, yeah, sex oh, lessons. Wow. So I could prepare for.
And you guys started off freaky.
The lady, yeah. So I could prepare for the end of summer when this lady comes to visit me.
She knew the whole time that
she
it was
knew the whole
of
time.
But
she, I don't think she was interested in me. She didn't give me any of the vibes at that time.
She took you under her vagina.
Yeah, she legit took me under her wings. Her wings. Yes, pun intended. What was I gonna say? So but no, bad. Like she gave me lessons, and towards the end of summer, like I kind of felt something. I'm like, what? Is there something here? I wasn't sure. Up until the last night where I'm with the supermodel, and I figure like you know what? This is not what I want. I think there's someone better out there for me. So
more
I broke it off
to
with
you?
Her. More suited to me. Yes, more suited to me because you know. We were just two different people. Because
the flute's been in you by her.
Yeah, flute. Well, she actually stuck a trombone in my butt.
How long ago was this?
Huh?
How long ago was this?
This was after the first year of college.
After
so,
the first year of college.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
Okay, that's
because I'm like 36.
You know what?
Now.
I remember that after that. Didn't you get like really hurt that summer?
Yes, I did.
What'd you do?
Yeah,
I didn't know.
See,
didn't
you
know
that? Yeah.
How'd you get hurt?
I just discovered masturbating with lube for the first time. Well, that was, but I also had beside my bed was super glue because I broke a lamp and I was putting it together.
I
reached for something which I thought
I
was.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, I reached for something that I thought was the lube, but it was a super glue. And as I was,
this gives a whole new meaning to I love lamp.
As I was, as Mike would call it, cleaning the dishes.
You were performing a mic. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an afternoon mic.
Yeah, I got stuck. I called poison control. They said to use paint thinner, which was outside in the truck. So I tried to get it, but I couldn't open the door with my mouth. So I climbed out the window. The cops were calling me because they thought I was breaking in. And basically, the cops saw me with my hand on my dick. And
she still fell in love with you after all this. Eh?
After all this, she still fell in love with me. Yeah.
That is true love.
Yeah. That is some serious true love.
Well, the thing that sold her was the way I got her. Was I professed, basically, I went, after I left the Eastern European model, I went back to Talos Bandcamp where they were having a recital and Michelle was doing her solo. And I came in with a trombone that I didn't know how to play and just started just wailing on it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, yeah, made an idiot myself in front of a room full of people.
To be foolish is to be in love. It's an old Greek thing. It was from Serendipity. It was the movie I almost picked, actually, to be. There's a quote he uses, but it seems like that's exactly what you're doing,
yeah,
right?
Just
like
trying to be a fool.
Pulling out all the stops, putting in all the objects.
Yeah. This is basically.
That would have been an unexpected choice that would have turned out very well.
Yeah, right. That was my original one. Wasn't so over the top. But, Martin, what where did this all come from? Where is this all?
Oh, this is actually the story of Jim and Michelle from American Pie and American Pie 2.
I had no idea.
I thought this.
You don't say.
You have another story very similar to this. I was confused. I was like, this is pure truth.
You'd think that they used your life story just for the movie.
Yeah, did you ask for rights on that?
You know why I picked this story because I'm a fucking huge geek, and this I relate to Jim so much because just the things you get. I get into a lot of weird shit all the time. Just weird shit just happens to me, like sexually. Oh. I remember once.
Do you have crazy glue next to your bed?
Not crazy glue, but I was like people in high school. They're like. They were saying use lube when you masturbate because I used to raw dog it, which hurt. So I was like, I didn't know what kind of lube to use, and the only thing I thought of was Vicks VapoRub.
Oh God!
Yeah, and it really did not feel good. I remember just burning.
It didn't feel like
did
anything,
that?
Huh?
You did that?
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, oh, let's try Vicks.
I know exactly what he feels like actually, but this isn't directly. This is indirectly. There was a brief time.
Did
in
you
my
indirectly
life.
Apply Vicks to your dick?
Shit's getting real here.
Well, no.
Was it a mug full of Vapor?
Great placeholder. No, I was in the military for a very brief moment, doing very little, and I was very sore one day. And the guys that I was bumping.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
No, it was from a much ruck march. It wasn't from any sort of male on male activity, but I. One of the guys thought it'd be really funny to switch my Tiger Balm with my Vaseline. Oh. So Vaseline for chafing, right? And then Tiger Balm for pain. So I went down to go put the Vaseline on for chafing, and I like handfuls of Tiger Balm.
I know how you feel, Mike.
Inside of my thighs, around my balls, everything fell asleep. I stood up in the middle of the night, was like, I can't feel my dick. It was like wagging it back and forth, and it wouldn't do shit. Like, it's just, and then, yeah, well, I'm just trying to make you feel like you're not on an island by yourself here, buddy. Yeah.
No one else has done that. I'm pretty sure the internet, someone on the internet, someone has done that.
Oh, like, yeah.
They put weird, everyone's put weird shit on their dick. Let's just say that. Yeah. But I know, I picked Jim because, like,
we call it the real masturbators here?
The real masturbators.
Real debaters, everybody. Real. I know we're going down a road here, but it's all about debating and not masturbating. So, challenges, anybody? anything out there that
I don't know you want to tell someone this story?
Yeah.
As if it was your own story. So I glued my hand to my dick.
See, like I wouldn't say that. Like, you guys asked me that question, yeah. So I would just stick to the part where we met and then the part where I made a fool of myself at band camp and tried to play the trombone. Nice. But you guys asked me the question, so I had to answer it. But I wouldn't tell that part of the story. Like I said, I would dumb it down, which is just the part where we meet, she used me sexually. I was in love with another woman.
You would
woman.
Get rid of his helicopter. That's what he would do.
I'm just saying. Like, I would never put the part where I would like...
Get rid of his Monet.
But you know what? In real life, I would talk about that shit. Like, I would legit say...
Oh, you totally would. Yeah.
If I'm just like, you know, I've said that on stage. I'm going to say it on like... I'm going to say it to people I meet. Like, I'm not going to hold things back.
Yeah.
I'm not the type of personality who holds or censors my stories anyways.
I just don't know if you're going to get a follow-up question. Like, if I was standing there and I heard you say, yeah, and my hand stuck to my dick after I put super glue on it, I'd be like, check, please. Yeah.
But then your significant other has to stand by you while you explain how her sexual experience she used all summer to
but have you
how
seen
to
the
have
movie?
Sex with somebody
yeah,
else.
No,
I see what he's doing. He's like, you used Michelle all summer and then went for the European model.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, it was sort of like she has to sit there going, yeah.
Yeah, to use Steve's approach of my love and my story, your significant other would be sitting there going, yeah.
Shut up, honey. Shut up,
shut
honey.
I just wanted to bang this dude at grad, and he wouldn't fucking leave me alone.
Yeah. He's a fucking
And then
Klingon.
He just shows up out of the blue at my job.
See, at least with mine had something to do through the whole story. She was driving the bus, saving our lives.
Yeah.
While I tried to disarm a bomb. Not just sitting there awkwardly as I explained in
detail
her sexual...
He's sitting there at my job. I figure, well, I might as well bang him again.
Like, I'm just imagining if she's off getting a drink and it's like, oh, yeah, here, meet my sex surrogate, Michelle. Right? Like, meet the woman who taught
me
where the
food
goes. Well,
you know what?
This is my sex ed teacher / my wife.
I don't know if you guys remember the movie, but in the movie... I am not the dominant one. She is.
That's true.
Like, I am her bitch.
I watched,
like, this
it,
is why,
I watched
like,
it this morning.
Which is why, like, this that whole conversation that you're thinking, Steve, it's not going to happen. It's not.
Michelle
it's
would
me
be
telling
actually
it,
explaining
it. And Michelle
story.
Would be explaining it. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be the one explaining it. She'd be like, oh, yeah, he's my bitch.
He'd be like, yeah.
And you know that she's not the type of person to hold things back. Like, in American Wedding, she's, like, blowing Jim in the first scene in a restaurant as he's about to propose with the dad. Just
that's right. Yeah,
giving him the ring.
She's
like she's
a little
there.
Frisky.
She's not. Yeah, she's not. What do you call it? She's not an
she's
innocent
not
woman. She's not shy. Not she'll definitely like talk about. And she talked about like putting a flute in her pussy in American Pie once. That's, like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, she's not the person to censor and hold things back. She won't tell me to shut up. She'll like lay it out just as hard as. Like, you know, she won't leave the details out of the story.
I know that you brought the trombone on stage to get her attention, but it seems like she was tromboning you.
She was tromboning me. I'm not the dominant one. She did stick a trombone in my butt.
I feel like this is the kind of story that you tell the other couple because you're trying to swing with them.
Yeah. This is well that's So you guys want to get freaky?
Every
either way,
story really
so
has
Steve wants to chase the other couple away.
Yeah.
Martin wants to
bang the other couple.
You just want to go quid pro quo, tit for tat, yeah. And I want all the attention.
Yes. Mike just wants helicopters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mike just wants to leave to go do some dishes. I think that's the point of that one.
Excuse me, honey. I need to go check on the dishes. They look like they're out of cups at the drink counter. All right. Well, that is in the bank. Voting time, everybody. We'll start in order of, I guess, we started. Steven, if you had to vote for any of us.
Well, I'd go along the lines of the same type of story that mine was. So I would just be trying to bullshit the people until they either gave up or...
Thomas Cronenfer. Good.
Yeah,
thanks
exactly.
For really?
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I will see myself out.
One for me. All I'm right, Mark.
Yes, Mike just got his first point from me.
I know.
Well, first ever.
Probably the last.
Here he is, flailing around, fucking dishes. Finally got a point.
That dish fucker flailing asshole in the corner.
I think I like the embarrass yourself for your true love, so I think I'd have to go with Martin and the I might skip out that the part in the middle too about gluing my hand to my dick. But,
did not bring that up. You guys asked. Yeah.
But I like the idea. I can relate to the making a fool of myself for the girl that I'm in love with. So
yeah,
I gotta go with
love is crazy. It makes you do crazy things.
There you go.
Oh, I wanted audacity. I wanted ridiculousness. So I want speed. I really, because, and I think you had me even before we sat down, because when I was texting you and you were like, okay, speed's my pick. And I'm like, all right, so what's your pick? You're like, speed's my pick. And I'm like, this is perfect. But the way you explained it is it's got enough cutesy wootsy shit in it between the two of them. That's believable. It's just very circumstantial. It's an over-the-top circumstance, but I'm not saying it's not believable, right?
But it's like, a story for two.
The part I love the most about Steve's is honestly just the opening line. So we met on public transit. Yes.
Right?
I mean, that line alone, I probably would vote for you.
And I know, I looking back, I'm like, I wish I would have been like the same thing with Thomas Crown Affair, where I'm like, so I'm a rich hedge funder and you're whatever. And like, you very vague it, but having... You're delayed.
I think you should have just said, oh, we met at a ball. Where did they first meet?
They do meet at the ball, like when she gets a dress and she's working with Dennis
Leary. She was
hunting
me down for a crime.
Yeah. She was chasing me for a crime I have yet to be charged of committing.
A future crime.
Well, Minority Report.
So, because we normally have somebody on the ready to try to be the tiebreaker, but they haven't listened to the whole thing, I don't think we can really go that direction.
We have one more vote.
We have one more vote. We have Martin.
Right, I know.
Oh, okay. So if he...
So
okay,
what so do we do if that happens?
So we have one for me, one for Speed, and one for...
Me.
So right now it's a three-way tie.
It's a three-way tie. The purpose of...
Well, he can't vote for himself. So.
I can't vote for myself.
He can't vote for himself.
So he's out already.
He's out already because he didn't get voted. So he has to...
No, I got voted. He voted for me.
So we have...
I have to vote still. I haven't voted yet. Yeah. So it's...
We know how to vote.
1-1-1.
Yeah.
We know our own rules.
Yes, we do.
I'm just wondering what the tiebreaker
I think be. You just call Shauna and just say...
At this point... Okay, so what he... Wait a minute here. He picks the winner.
Sort of. No. Unless he picks me.
Unless he likes old school.
Can I pick and we'll decide?
Yeah. Okay. Well, to satisfy Mark, though, what we do is we call and we just...
Call Shauna.
We just call Shauna, or we'll call somebody. We can call anybody, actually. It'd be great if we just called a random person who didn't know we were even podcasting.
Dial the random phone number.
Call Tony's Pizza. Call Tony's Pizza.
Yeah, call Pizza Joint. Be like, hey.
If you had to pick where...
Call Little Pizza Heaven. We're going to order a pizza. Plus, also, we have a question for you. You're on the air live, by the way.
But the phone call is determined just based on you tell the movie, right? You just say what the four movies are. They don't get to hear the
what even the question? You just say, I'm going to tell you four movies. You pick one.
No, it's kind of like phone a friend from
No. I don't agree to that.
Okay.
I'm pulling a Martin right now.
You don't...
Put it down. Put the hammer down.
Okay.
No, like
get
that.
Todd and be like, Todd, we're making a stand.
All right, this is going to get... What do you agree to before he picks? Because we should settle. This is like pool.
I just think in this circumstance, you literally call a random phone number, you give them the four movie titles, and they pick one not knowing what the question is.
Okay, I'm down for that. I'm totally down for that.
It's sort of a game of chance, if you will.
It is. And
I like that.
But do they need to know the title, or we just give them the four movies and they pick based
four
on...
Four movies.
Okay.
Four movies.
Because that is fair. I get what you're saying. If they don't know the premise, then they're not led.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Are you happy?
That's such a big question.
That's
okay.
A whole other episode.
Podcast.
Rules were good? Yes? All right. All right, Martin. It's all on you, buddy.
It's going to be a tie.
I knew it was going to be a tie, too.
Your stories are too ridiculous. I didn't buy it.
Martin and I went the same direction on that one. So you guys pick each other because we would have picked each other. Because,
like, honestly, like I like your story. The nice guy wins in
honestly,
your story.
Actually,
that's
you,
what I like. Your guy, your characters are assholes. Fucking assholes.
He's not an asshole. He's a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, but he's
my
a dick.
My guy's not an asshole.
This is why I preemptively said, how do we break the tiebreaker?
A rich guy who's bored and steals paintings?
Put it up online and then announce it later.
Put it up online? Yeah,
we
okay.
can vote. We can
you
put it to a vote.
We
can just call our listener. And
I like. You know what? I like a random call of a phone number.
I was gonna start with Shauna because she doesn't
or
know.
Just call Aaron or something. Just
okay.
Like, hey.
Well, Aaron never picks his phone up. But okay, let's try with Shauna first and
this
see where
could
she's
be interesting.
At.
Just say four movies and say pick one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you should say best meet cute.
I don't think that was agreed, though. Was that agreed?
That wasn't agreed.
Well, that's what Mark wanted, but I don't know.
We didn't vote, though.
That's my opinion.
Hey, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Panda.
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, so we're great. We're just about to tie it up here. Well, we're actually tied up.
You're on the air.
You're on the air, first of all. Okay.
Okay.
We have a tie.
And we have a tie. So
okay.
We're calling you, and now we've settled on the fact that we just tell you the four movies without any backstory about anything, and you pick which one you think should win. Okay.
Okay, I don't know anything about.
You don't
what
know.
The arguments are just picking which movie I like the best.
Exactly. So it's completely fair. So it's just based on what you know about the movies,
or which you can extrapolate.
Yes. You can't really extrapolate anything from these movies. No. You're just like, what the fuck?
I think it's brilliant.
Okay. Yeah,
it's all right. You ready?
Okay,
so
In no specific order,
you've got Speed, you've got Old School, you've got The Thomas Crown Affair, and you've got American Pie 2.
Oh my God, these are horrible. They really are. I don't like any of those.
What?
No pressure. But
I'm
one of us.
Old School.
Oh, fuck. You chose wrong.
I love you, Shauna.
You have chosen wisely.
All right, Panda. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Glad I could help. Bye.
Bye. Fuck. She even knew too. I've been telling her all week about it.
I'm okay calling it a four-way tie.
Yeah. It's a win with an asterisk. You know what I mean?
It's a win for love. Okay.
Love wins.
Love wins.
Love finds a way.
Love wins every time.
There you go.
What did we not pick this week? Steve, you want to go first? What was your... Or did you just go right with Speed and you were like, fuck it, I don't feel like doing any other research?
Yeah, no, Speed was like right number one. Because I think I texted you like, oh, if I have to pick now, Speed. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, yeah, I like that. I'm going with Speed.
I wonder how you had that just like in the chamber.
I don't know.
I think it's in the chamber for all movies. It's like, Speed. Which movie is that? Speed.
It's, yeah, you could, Thriller, Speed,
Even
Action,
Thomas
Speed.
Thomas Crown Affair. I don't know how you came up with that one.
I don't know how. You know what? I Googled.
I couldn't think of any romantic comedies. I remember because I was, I think I was walking home from Superstore when we were texting.
Okay.
Mm. And I was like, romantic comedy, what's a good meet cute? I can't think of anything. And then for some, yeah, and then a bus drove by.
Instant inspiration.
What didn't you pick, Mike?
Pretty Woman.
Oh.
I was going to go with Pretty Woman.
Good luck.
Lady
Shauna.
Of the evening.
Lady.
Well, Shauna.
Well, it's one of Shauna's favorite movies, so I kind of wanted to tie that whole thing in because I've never seen it in full. I know the plot. I know everything you need to know, but I just thought it was a really great, because every time you see that dynamic, Lady of the Night and customer, she doesn't want to leave because why would you? You're making great money. You're independent. You're your own boss. Like, take the sex out of the situation and just explain that she's her own business owner and she works her own hours and does whatever the hell she wants and doesn't report to anybody. Why would you want to give that up for somebody? Right. So I was going to kind of explain it like that. And then instead I just chose fucking helicopters instead. And Serendipity was on the list too, just because of like that was the romantic comedy.
Yeah, wrong.
The hard one that I was gonna pick, just because it's leaving everything up to fate, right? Yep. Where you're talking about meeting somebody and it not being right, then you run into them again, which is kind of in the fate department. But these two are choosing fate to be their guide later in life with a fucking glove of all things, right?
Yeah, so, there you go.
And it's John Cusack. I've got a man crush on John Cusack.
And Kate Beckinsale.
And Kate Beckinsale. But John Cusack first. What about you, Mark?
Martin?
What? Am I going next?
Yeah.
Are you looking yours up?
I just should check one fact.
Okay.
Chris Stanton wanted me to mention his pick if he was here. It would have been the Nick Cage movie, City of Angels.
Oh.
Where he comes down as an angel and dies. He becomes a human and then Meg Ryan dies and now he's alone.
That would be so great.
Oh, wow.
That would be so great because like the way you could tell that story is I'm a retired angel.
Yeah, I'm a retired angel.
I gave up my wings for...
Baseball player?
I'm a retired angel player.
Just want to explain it.
I got really close to picking my other one. I was going to pick Bridesmaids. I was going to pick the Kristen Wiig's character.
Yes.
And Chris O'Dowd's character.
Chris O'Dowd.
Mm. Right? Because I loved him in that movie. He was just like the super nice cop. Like
good
friend.
Guy,
but then she's really resistant to the nice guy thing, right? She's addicted to the douchebag, And you can see a pattern that I kind of get. The girls that date douchebags and then they finally realize what a good guy is. So I really liked that story, how he like motivated her to get back into baking and keep running into each other in weird places. But he's still there and he kind of didn't take no for an answer and gave her room to develop and grow. And I like that story too. So
it is a good story. And like that douchebag thing is like, it doubles on both sides, right? Like going, girls going after douchebags, guys going after the crazy party girl, right? Like eventually it's tiring and you want some stability and you want to be in bed on Monday night at 10 o'clock with the person as opposed to rescuing somebody Monday night from the pal or some dumb shit like that, right?
Sorry, I just had to comment.
Yeah.
Shauna just posted on my, because I took a picture of this monster thing. I call them Hank. But Shauna said his name is Mr. Jefferson.
That's it.
He gets ordinary playing board games too. He's your spirit toughy.
Yeah, yeah. His story was something, but he gets really mean at board games.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
I've seen you flip Game of Thrones before.
I get so angry.
So, Martin, what was your... Oh yeah, you already did. Yeah, okay.
Oh, we're... just this end. But my other pick would have been Hitch. That's my first go-to was Hitch. Yeah. But I was like, you know what? Let's pick something a little more wild.
I'm a consultant.
Yeah, I'm a dating consultant.
You should just say consultant, and I'll put people in touch with the right people.
Yeah.
For long term work relationships or some dumb shit like that.
I had an allergy attack, which is believable. A bad one.
Well, I was going to tell you guys before we peace out of here, but the next one. The next two, actually, yeah, we can talk about them. The next one coming up is if you were...
You want me to do it?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Future episodes starring Martin Navarro. Go.
You own a summer camp.
Yes.
Ages 12 to 16.
Yes.
Is it a band camp?
Yeah, it's band camp.
Yes.
Ages 12 to 16, and you have to hire... someone to run it all.
The camp director.
A camp director who is a Sylvester Stallone character who isn't Rocky or Rambo.
That's the next podcast.
So which Sylvester Stallone character is going to run your
camp? Summer camp?
We don't have to talk about it. Just let it settle.
Just let that sink in.
Yeah, let it
sink in. Marinate for a bit.
Throw you a curveball. We wanted to throw you a curveball. Yeah. Like, what the fuck do I pick now?
Because we've realized as we're doing this that the fun that comes from it is creating an asinine situation and taking some movie into it. Right?
I like that.
As opposed to debating, we'll end up debating against other things that are more cinematically engaging. But this. Create a scenario, take a movie character, apply it to it, and then...
Seems like something that would come up at a drunken party.
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, because what you're doing is you're getting outside of, like, best comic book movie. You're getting...
Yeah.
So, which has already been done.
Yeah. Like, well,
let's talk about something different.
So anybody who's listening, this is our new format going forward. We'll be playing in both sides of the aisle, but expect some silliness going down the line. With that said, thank you guys for coming again. Mm-hmm. Just so that everybody knows, we've got to my left here, we've got
Martin,
we've got
Mark,
and we've got
Steve,
and we've got myself, Michael, hanging out in the living room. You can follow us. I'm so happy to say this now. You can follow us on iTunes. You can listen to us on iTunes, follow us there. You can listen to us on Spotify. You can listen to us on Google Play, and you can listen to us on Podbean. You can find us on Instagram under The Real Debaters. You can find us on Twitter under The Real Debaters, therealdebaters@gmail.com. If you would like to email us anything, if you want to email us about a new show idea, we're more than willing to talk about it with you and mention you on the podcast.
MySpace.com/realdebaters.
If you find it, we'll be very fucking impressed.
Someone create a Friendster account, please. Friendster.
AOL keyword, Real Debaters.
Yeah, we're all over the net, guys.
We're also at MRC.
So thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Real Debaters. It's been a slice. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care.
I really like this game. I want to keep it.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.